Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. I want to read verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Our Heavenly Father sent the only begotten Son, John 3:16, the only begotten Son he sent to save us, and that was a demonstration of his love. Where it says the only begotten means there was only one of a kind. One of a kind. The Son who was one of a kind. And he came, and to those who receive him and believe upon him, he gives the power to become sons of God, like he as the one of a kind. Hallelujah. Now, God, when he created us, there are certain things inherent in us. One is to be. It's within everyone to be. And out of that comes being a survivor. Some people they'll do whatever just to survive, to be. People want to be. You know, when you want to be, you want the government to leave you alone. You want people to leave you alone. Just let me be. And our life's in Christ, and we learn to be in him, in eternal life, just to be in his kingdom. Well, then there's also within us a desire to belong, to belong. And you know, you're born into a family. You belong to your family, a father, mother, brothers, and sisters. And sometimes that realm, you know, has a lot of things disturbed in it, you know, where there's maybe not a parent, or where there's you know, sin that makes kind of corrupts things or makes things perverse. And people don't have really what they yearn for in terms of belonging. Well, we can belong to God. Being a son or daughter of God, we belong to him. We are a part of his family. You are born into the family of God. We belong. You can have a sense of belonging. If we don't understand we belong to God, we belong as a part of his family, then people are very prone to join up with things to feel a sense of belonging. So they join a club, they join a gang, they have an identity they try to take on themselves to feel that they're a part of something. Well, we are born into the family of God as Christians, and God wants us to have that sense of belonging to him and to his family. Well, then we see here, he says, he gave us the power to become something. And every person, when they're born, they have these basic bees within them. There's a desire to become something. And it's interesting to me to watch small kids where they're imagining becoming something. That is inherent in human nature because we're made in the image of God. But you have little girls, they will imagine becoming mommy. So they'll collect dolls and they'll play and they'll imagine they're the mommy taking care of the baby. And then as they get older, the thing that they were imagining, they may enter into an experience where they become literally that mommy. But as a child, they see their mommy and possibly others, relatives or other people that they know, and they imagine becoming that, caring for a child. You have within males in particular that desire to become more than a conqueror. And if you read the bulletin, that's the theme of the upcoming men's retreat. To become more than a conqueror. So you have young guys, they imagine being like in the military and they're going to become more than a conqueror. Or you have in sports, part of the appeal to sports is you're conquering an enemy. That other team's my enemy. And you have satisfaction the better, the more you beat them, the more satisfied you feel because you're more than a conqueror. You didn't just barely win because you got a call go your way from a referee. You beat them. And it's interesting how deeply that runs in the male psyche, to be more than a conqueror, to become something that's, you know, you would perceive as inherently a good thing. So boys imagine things like fighting and conquering and with sports and all of the rest. And then you have spectator sports where you're identified with the team, and when they beat the New England Patriots, you won. Oh my, I'm poking fun at myself there if you didn't know that. But that element's there of becoming something. And it's very strong. And it really, it's of God, and it shouldn't leave us. The key thing is that we don't allow it to become perverted into something. And that's what Satan would try to do with whatever's at work in the earth or in man, to try to bring a perversion. It was never God's will for Adam or for man to rule man. It was for man to rule the earth and to rule devils and to rule his own flesh and to overcome circumstances. That's always been the intent of God. But the perversion is you have people trying to rule over other people and to take from them and steal from them and abuse them and exalt themselves over them. So that's a perversion. Now, I can remember as a young boy dreaming of becoming a lot of things. I would play with toy soldiers. Then when I got old enough to get a BB gun, I would shoot the toy soldiers. But you know, you begin imagining becoming something like that. I watched a retaining wall built in front of my house, and I imagined becoming a bricklayer. And later I did that for a while. I imagined being a fireman and strung a rope down a second story out of the house and came sliding down and ended up swinging into this giant rose bush. And then letting go of the rope and crashing to the concrete. Prior to that, I drew ladders on the wall with a big crayon. I'm only like 5, 6 years old, okay? Drawing ladders on the wall. Imagining being a fireman. Oh, my. Imagine being a race car driver. Riding on some like tricycle down a hill and crashing. So, you know, sometimes these imaginations will inflict some pain on yourself. I inflicted a lot of pain on myself with the things I imagine. Imagining being an athlete, being a football player, being this and that and the other. And it's really bad when you lose the ability to imagine becoming something. That should never stop in us. We just need to have it transferred to the right thing or things. In the natural, there's some things to become. I mean, it's okay, like career-wise, to become something. But we need to learn to think way beyond that. You're not just becoming something in the natural. I mean, for some, their imaginations, they imagine becoming rich. So their whole striving is in an effort to get a lot of money. Well, there's things you can do with money. But at the end of the day, what do you really have on the inside? You don't really have anything. That's the reason why one of the highest, if not the highest, suicide rate per capita in this country has been among the wealthiest. Because they imagine having money and that bringing joy only to get all the money, and now they still don't have joy. So now they have no hope. If you look to something in the natural to produce what only can be produced in the spirit, then you're going to end up with disappointment and disillusionment. That'll be where you end up with something like that. The things that you could become and do and experience in the natural can never satisfy what your spirit yearns for. So that brings us back to John 1:12. As many as receive him, as many believe on him, he gives the power to become something, to become the sons of God. To become like him, or to become a son. Now, when the word son's used, in some cases, it's referring to like a biological offspring. But it's also referred to one who's becoming like the Father, who's taken on the character and attributes of a father. And any time it's speaking of Jesus, it's speaking in that way. But here, it's really speaking of us becoming sons of God. First, we have to be born into the kingdom. But then also, God wants us to grow up as a son and become like our Heavenly Father and to live for His purposes. Now, where we struggle with something like this is with the thought of what does that look like? You have to have some image of what you're trying to become. You might have children are very impressionable. They see something and they want it, or they see something and they try to mimic or imitate it. For a little girl sees a mommy caring for a baby, she has an image there. That little girl has a picture in her mind of what it is to become mommy. Where someone sees a man being a father, there's an image there. And then you endeavor to become like that image. Many times people have bad examples and they have a sense of loss of what it is to become that, but they sure know what they don't want to be like. I don't want to be like my father or my mother because of this. And it would simply have been a result of sin in their life. But many times the things of the Spirit where people struggle hooking up with it is because they don't know what it looks like to be, in this case, a son of God, or ladies, a daughter of God. Galatians 3 says there's neither male or female in Christ, so he can use the word son. That's talking to the ladies too. It's not to take away from your femininity, but rather in spirit, there's neither male or female. That's a thing of the flesh. Sometimes women, and it's getting really bad nowadays, get so hung up on their physical identity that they miss identifying in a spirit. So as he says, become sons of God, it's to be after the image of Christ in our spirit. There is no female spirit. We are spirits. You're female in the natural. There's male in the natural. So we don't want to get hung up on a word like that. You know, the New Age movement, they're taking Bibles and taking words like that out. I guess we're all the it's of God, the things of God. It's okay to say son. It's okay to say daughter. Well, we become the power to become something, a son of God, or become like him. In verse 14, it says the Word, God in his creative ability, was made flesh, Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory, all of the character, the attributes, how he thinks, how he walks, how he talks. We behold all of that in Jesus Christ, the glory of the only begotten, the one of a kind. Up to Jesus coming, he was the one of the kind. In his earth walk, there was only one of a kind. But now we're going to see as we look forward in Scripture, he was the firstborn among many brethren. So let's go up to Colossians chapter 1, and it just expounds on what's being stated there in John. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father that hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's saying he gave us power to become sons of God. Who, Jesus, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are born of the Spirit, born into the kingdom. And in order to be born into the kingdom, we have to have Satan's power broke in our lives. By way of our birth, Adam's sin and the nature of Satan is in us like a seed. In our birth, we end up with that corrupt, sinful nature coming out, and it dominates. People can try to act godly, but their heart has to be changed because sin's in the heart. Well, Jesus did all that was necessary to make that possible, to deliver us from the power of sin. We are not held back by that any longer. In whom we have redemption through his blood, or the price was paid. You are bought and paid for. The price was the blood of Jesus. even the forgiveness of sins. So through the work of the blood, he paid for your sins. You don't have to pay for them. Thank God for that. If someone has a guilty conscience, they feel like they have to make a payment. But God purges our conscience that we don't have guilt anymore, and there's freedom, and thus the peace of God comes in. Now, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, the word firstborn in the Greek is prototokos, which means like a prototype. We get our word a prototype. He's the one, the prototype, of which all others following him would be patterned after. Now, if something's going to be created, and it's to say like the car industry, and they come up with new names of cars all the time just to make it appealing, I suppose. I guess they make them better. They make them better, John? Try to make some better model. I guess that's debatable at times. But the engineers, the architects of it, will design a prototype, and they will test it out and see, you know, how it's going to hold up, and they have all these tests they're going to do to see if, you know, how long will the engine last? How long will the transmission last? And if they say this transmission will last 120,000 miles, then you'll get a guarantee for 100,000 miles. But they have the prototype. And then you have the assembly plant where all vehicles made are following that prototype to the exact specifications of that first car that's being made. So so in the auto industry you'd have it, but it's with anything. I mean, you could be making a gun. There's a prototype. There's a design to it. And then the ones that are going to be following after being produced follow that design. Well, Jesus is the firstborn or the prototype of a son of God who was raised from the dead, having had their sins cleansed. And he is the image of what it is to be a son of God. We have a picture. God speaks to us much of the time through pictures in our mind. We comprehend through what we see. And there are many pictures in the Bible. Just like with water baptism, you have Noah's Ark. And 1 Peter 3 says this much, that is a picture of the work of God delivering us from the power of sin through the water. And Jesus is the ark. He is the boat we come into, and we're delivered from judgment on sin. So that's a picture. The Bible's full of pictures. And the Lord, when he taught, would use pictures. He'd say, well, the kingdom of God is like a sower sowing a seed. Oh, the kingdom of God is like a shepherd with a sheep. And he just on and on and on. So to become something, you need an image that you are becoming like. And Jesus Christ provided that image for us of what it is to be a son of God. We have the power to become sons of God, not just biological offspring of God, but actually acting like him, being like him. You know, God in his word didn't call the Christians Christians. The people began to call them Christians at Antioch. And what that means, Christians, Christ-like, or they're acting like Jesus. They look like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. It's interesting when you have children, they may have some genetic similarities to you and sort of look like you, but they'll walk like you, talk like you. My sons didn't learn to speak Chinese. They might have heard a little bit in a Chinese restaurant, but they learned to speak English as we speak it here in York County. Whether that's right or wrong, that's up for debate. I tend to prefer to believe that the English we speak here is proper English. But there are a few discrepancies. Someone could argue with that. But you begin to become like. It's just that imitation in a child. You become like. You begin to speak like your parents. You learn their ways. You learn their values. And you begin to become like the image you see. Now, in growing up as a child, as one goes into their teenage years, they're going to begin to determine, do I want to be like mom or dad, or am I going to follow after something or someone else? And then they become who they're going to be. But for us as Christians and as believers, our heart should be is to become Son of God, to become Jesus-like, to have the character of God. That's what I'm speaking of as a son of God, to have that character, to be someone where when someone sees you, they see Jesus. When the disciples, well, Peter and John raised that one, the lame man up and healed him, and they were brought before the religious leaders, they remarked, they sound just like Jesus. These guys have been with Jesus. They're acting just like him. We're going to have to try to stop this, because they thought they got rid of this Jesus guy, crucified him. And now here his disciples, they're just like him. And really, to become a disciple is becoming like the teacher. I mean, you hear what they teach, but you begin to become like them as well, or walk with them. You learn their ways. Now, when it comes to following man in any way, you have to realize no one's perfect. You don't just blindly follow everything someone does. We need to judge it by the word. But Jesus is the image of God whereby we completely follow. And Paul said, and follow me as I follow Christ. If someone's walking like Christ, well, then you follow them as they're walking like Christ. But we do have a picture. We do have an image. He says at verse 16, by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all were created by him and for him. Now that corresponds with Revelation 4:11, that we exist for his pleasure. God doesn't exist for your pleasure. We exist for his pleasure. He is before all things. By him, all things consist. He is the head of the body. You know, your brain tells everything else in your body what to do. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Jesus in his resurrection was that prototype, and that's the word there. He's the prototokos. He is the prototype. He is the image of a resurrected one, a resurrected Son of God. And because of his redemptive work, the sin problem's taken care of, devils don't have power over us, and we can become like him by his Holy Spirit transforming us. And that's what happens when we call upon him to be Lord of our life, based upon the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and the Holy Spirit transforms us. As it said back in John 1, verse 13, you're not born out of your own will or out of the flesh, but the will of God. God desires that we be resurrected sons or daughters of God. That's what he wants. He wants a family. Isn't it interesting how people in general want to have a family? That came from God. God wanted to have a family made in his image. God wants a family, and he wants us to be resurrected sons. And in that, there is the revelation, my sins were forgiven. God is gracious that he favored me while I was yet in sin. He was merciful to have compassion upon me while I was yet in sin, while I was a hopeless mess. And it says later on in Colossians 1 that Christ in you is the hope of glory. When God sees us as a hopeless mess, full of sin, he sees us with hope that you can become that son, daughter of God, that there is hope for the glory of God because the price was paid to deliver you and the Holy Spirit's been given and he's in you to change you and transform you. You know, when you're young, you dream about becoming. When I grow up, I want to be this, that, and the other. We really should never stop thinking like that. I'll jokingly say sometimes, oh, when I grow up, I want to be like my dog. You know, be a certain characteristic. in the dog. When I grow up, I want to be like this or like that. See, we're continually growing. Paul himself said, I've not arrived at perfection yet. But this one thing I do, I let go of the things behind, and I keep reaching to that which is before me, Jesus Christ. What do you want to become? I'm just sort of asking you to think for your own life. Do you think of becoming still? I know you guys do, younger men, becoming. But it doesn't matter how old you are. That shouldn't change. I want to continue to become that Son of God, to become more like Him. And this is so important because if that desire to become more the Son of God, if that desire is there and it's strong, then what that's going to do is drive you towards the process. If you wanted to become a doctor, and Dr. Joe could attest to this, and that was a desire born of spirit, there's a process. So like 8 years of school, right? And then the internships, a couple years. And then three. Depends on the field. And then there's getting started in a practice, someone taking you on, and you're still sort of in a, you know, process. You're under a lot of oversight. But there's a process in becoming that. And you can easily, you probably have a lot of, well, I shouldn't say it like that. There's probably some people who they think they want to become a doctor. And when they hear about the process, I don't think so. Do you have people like that? Maybe drop out of school or something? In the beginning. Because once you're so far in, you think, well, I can't quit now. I just put 5 years in. I have to stay with this. You know, when you begin to pay the price, it changes your thinking a little bit. When you're paying the price, investing yourself in the process, you get to a point, it's like, I can't quit now. I have to keep moving forward. And with whatever you're going to become in life, there is a certain price to pay with that. But we have to have the desire of it to remain strong in us so we keep going forward and paying the price and submitting to the process. Well, in becoming sons of God, as it says, you have the power to become more like Christ, to take on His character. That is a lifetime goal. Again, Paul is the example. I'd say he knew a lot. He did a lot. But he said, I've not arrived yet. I'm still becoming more like Christ. I want to be found in Him, he said in Philippians 3. Not having my righteousness, but His, which is by faith. So what's the process of this becoming son and daughter of God? If we can't identify it, and it's real vague and just a blurry sort of thing, you won't submit to it. You just kind of wander. And sometimes people, as Christians, they have an experience with Christ, they become Christian, but they don't really see what, you know, that's not like an end, it's just a beginning, and they're to become something. And it's a lifetime work or a lifetime walk, becoming more like Him. Now, a byproduct is then your life brings glory to God. People say, that's Christian there. That person's a Christian. I take it as a great compliment if I meet a stranger and we're talking and they say, are you a Christian? Not like they're wanting to witness to me, but I mean, they see your character, or they just see the Spirit of God in your presence, in your countenance, and they say, are you a Christian? I thought so. I thought you were. To me, that's like a silent compliment. Praise the Lord. I'm carrying enough of Jesus so you can see that. You know, there might be some times we think, oh my goodness, that wasn't a good testimony today. And you feel really bad about it. Why is that? Because in your heart, you want to be like Him. In your heart, you want to be that son or daughter of God that's bringing honor to your Heavenly Father. You know, as children, children don't want to shame their parents, but there's times they might do something kind of foolish. Everybody has stories about their kids, right? parents may give you a word of wisdom. It's not always good to tell that story, air it out public. You know, just something funny a kid did. It was just kind of an embarrassing moment. Sometimes you kind of like think, oh no, mom, don't go there. You're going to embarrass me. There's times we might, you know, our kids might sort of do something embarrassing. But it doesn't change your love for them. It doesn't change you keep working with them. You keep, you know, you bring some correction maybe, but then you keep encouraging them. You know, ladies don't do that. Men don't act like that, son. Ladies don't act like it. And you have to have these conversations with young kids. That's not ladylike. That's not how a man would act, son. You know, you need to be like this. And to keep encouraging them in that direction. Now, in the natural, just to be a man or woman, to go from childhood to become a man or woman, but what's that? Is being a man like beating people up? Is being a man being a tough guy? What is it? And again, we have to really just see it in Jesus, see it in the Word, to be the a man of God, to be Christ-like. So the process, we go to Romans chapter 12, we get back to the process. If we don't have the desire for it, then we're not going to embrace the process. If we don't embrace the process, nothing's going to be happening. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God's not unreasonable with us. Present yourself. Give yourself to Him. You know, if you have your physical presence, your body, your natural desires all going away from God, you're not going to encounter anything. We begin presenting ourselves. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind brings a transformation. When you are conforming to something, you're just trying to act like that. When there's a transformation, you're changed to become something. Now, I remember when we first put in our goldfish pond and we got a couple tadpoles. Remember that, Donna? Just little guys. And they became frogs. And I remember one year there were too many frogs. They were big old boys. All night long. So we had to, actually we drained the pond down and scooped out, I don't know, it's half a dozen or 20. These big old frogs took them down to that storm retention pond down here. So if you're ever walking around out here at night, you hear a bunch of frogs croaking, they were ours. But these tadpoles became frogs. Now to some people, I say frog legs are like chicken meat. I don't know. I never ate that I knew I was eating it. Maybe I did somewhere, but you know, so you know, they became dinner. The tadpoles became dinner for us, possibly. Or frogs eat things like mosquitoes, so they're a great asset to have around the house. I mean, not in the house, but around the house. They'll eat up the mosquitoes and all the other little bugs that want to bother you. But that tadpole will transform into the frog. The caterpillar that will destroy a tree and eat up the leaves becomes a beautiful butterfly that'll float around and sit on the leaves of the tree. Do butterflies pollinate anything? Who's a science person here? They do? They pollinate. So they do their job as pollinators, and they're fun to watch and look at as well. I sort of assumed they did because they'll sit on flowers and things like that. So they have a mission and a work to do. The caterpillar will destroy the tree. The butterfly will help pollinate. And we're like that. You know, we have that sin nature, and it's destructive, but we're transformed into something else. A new creature, as it says in Corinthians. A son of God. We're changed into that. We're born of the Spirit, but then we begin to continue to grow and become more of that. We are spirit, soul, and body. Our bodies don't change. I mean, they're decaying in a negative sense many times, but our soul needs to continue to change. Our spirit's changed in the instant. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. If we're not changed into sons of God, we will conform to the world. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will begin to be worldly-like. And whatever image is striking you, that's the thing you're going to be attracted to, and you begin to mimic and copy it. I tell you what really cracks me up sometimes. I mean, I just chuckle inside. I don't say anything, but I just chuckle. Is how people who want to make money off of people through clothing, they will change whatever's fashionable. And they will set something forth. This is cool to dress like this, to look this certain way. So then everybody runs out and buys that. That's more, I think it's even more so for women. My wife will say, it's not fair. You guys, you can wear the same clothes for 20 years. I mean, like a blue shirt's a blue shirt, right? But I remember one time I went into a Turkey Hill or something like that, and there was a young lady there, and I thought, I mean, at first I thought a clown walked into the store. And I realized that's not a clown. That's a young lady dressed in this bizarre fashion. This was a few years back, not long, but a few years back. And I thought to myself, if your mother made you dress like that, you wouldn't have left the house. But someone said, that's cool to look like that, just to take your money. I mean, it's all about the money, really. But when people are in that conformity, they're always worried about what everyone else thinks of them and having to conform. Christianity is not conforming to some religious outside thing, but rather something changing on the inside. We become Christ-like. We become Son of God on the inside. Our pursuit's not for outward appearances, but it's for the character of God. To walk in love like Jesus loved, to be in faith like Jesus was in faith, to be strong in our spirit like Jesus. Transformed, changed into something. And it's by the renewing of our mind. That is the process. Or in other words, you are exchanging your thoughts for God's thoughts. And when we begin to think like God, that's when you'll begin to act like God. Amen. Good preaching, Brother Bill. When you begin to think like God, then you'll begin to act like God. Our spirit man wants to. We're changed in our spirit. Christ lives in us. But it's our thinking where problems come in. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2 also gives us the basic premise for a gathering together of believers. So we come and worship. We're presenting ourselves to God. Lord, I love you. I confess. I give you thanksgiving. I give you praise. I give you worship. And then we hear the word, the renewing of the mind to transform us. That's the reason why we do our church service like we do. It's right there. It's not, well, we sing songs because I like music. We sing songs because I feel good. It's not that at all. It's personal. We do corporate, but it's personal. Where, Lord, I'm coming before you. I am recommitting myself to you. I'm giving you the honor and glory that you deserve. I present myself to you. And then we open our heart to receive the word to renew our mind, which is where the transformation is going to come. Now, if someone has the desire in their heart to become like, to become Son of God, to become like, you, even without realizing it, you will want to come and worship and to hear the word. But when someone, and it's not just coming here, I mean, even at home, read the Bible and so forth, but when you lose that desire, you'll lose the importance of the Word of God in your life. Now, we can draw a conclusion. We can look at what you do, how you handle the Word. If you see the value of it, well, then you'll commit to it. But if I look at my life and see, you know, I don't read Bible like I used to. I can take it or leave it, whether I go to church. Someone's in big trouble. And I don't mean like, oh, you broke a rule, you're in trouble. I mean you're in trouble spiritually, because that shows the heart's not towards becoming like Christ. It's towards something else. Something of this world. There's only two, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. There's something else that's grabbing your heart and pulling it away. So we look back here. Okay, we see the what. He wants us to be transformed, to be sons of God. We see the how. The process is in the renewing of the mind. Because once you're, see, the way Satan will get a hold of you is get your thoughts wrong, wrong thinking, wrong desires. And then you'll just follow that. It's very easy for him to take people as captives. It's wrong thinking. But as we hear the word, we continue to hear the word. It's not about, oh, I know that. I've heard that before. Yeah, I've read that before. I know that. That thinking is a sure sign someone doesn't understand. It's not about just knowing. It's that I continue to renew my mind. And that principle works even in natural things. I like to study things relative to health and the human body. And there's a lot that I've learned, and there's reasons why you should eat this or don't do that. There's reasons for that. But I find for myself, if I do not renew my mind to those truths, what I will end up doing is slipping back into what I used to do or what is easy, doesn't require much time. You know what I'm talking about. Toss me a hamburger out the window, buddy. I'll go back to the things that are easy or to what my taste buds remember. Oh, yeah, that was good. But as I renew my mind and purpose, like, so I find for myself, I have to keep reading those things until it becomes a habit. When it's just a habit to do the right thing. See, a habit, you do something without even thinking. You just do it. And we have to develop good habits. Well, we want actually to become a habit where I present myself to the Lord. Lord, good morning. to recognize him as you start your day and to begin to renew your mind with the word. When that becomes a habit, it's part of just how you operate, how you function. The habit of thankfulness. I have a habit of declaring I am well. I laugh to myself at times. Someone will say, oh, how are you? And I'll unconsciously say, I'm good. Because that's what God says about me. And sometimes I might walk away and think, you know, I had this pain in my foot or over here on my knee or something. But just out of habit, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Because my mind's renewed. God's word says I'm good. God's word says I'm healed. God's word says a lot of things about me. And the more our mind's renewed, it's even a habit of how we respond to things. Many people have bad habits or habits of negative. How are you today? I'm rotten. It's a terrible day. And just negative, 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 negative. It's a terrible thing to get in the habit of negativity because that's not Christ-like. I don't see anywhere in the Bible Jesus complained. I don't see where he worried. I don't see where he was criticizing everybody and all the rest. Well, the transformation that happens is the renewing of the mind. It's a process. That means it's not like snap all at once. And if people want everything to be snap all at once, you will not yield to that process. This process of becoming more like Christ is ongoing all of our life. Ongoing all of our life. Same like with health. That's an ongoing process. You have to keep working at it. You don't just, oh, here's a pill. You'll be healthy the rest of your life. It doesn't work like that. You have to keep working at that. But this is even much more so. So the purpose here, there's purpose in for your life, and what do you want to become? And when someone loses, I don't really want to become anything, you're going to end up depressed right there. There's nothing you're reaching for. You'll be unmotivated, undisciplined. I still remember listening to this woman of God at a pastor's meeting, I guess you'd call it, Sister Tenney. She was maybe in her mid-80s at the time I heard her. I think that's about how old she was. And she made a comment. She said, I don't really keep pictures of myself. I don't want to tie myself to the past. I want to keep changing to be more like Jesus. Now, she wasn't saying it's wrong to have pictures. She was talking about with herself. She wants to, but she made this comment. She's like 85, full of the Holy Ghost. I want to keep becoming more like Jesus. That just ministered to me so much. Like, I want to be like Sister Tenney. I want to be thinking like that all the days of my life. Make me more like you. Keep changing me, Lord. Therefore, I'll submit to the process and continue with the renewing of my mind with the Word of God, continuing to hear the Word, read the Word, pray the Word, speak the Word, meditate the Word, Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. We don't want to let go of that. That needs to be part of the very fabric of our life. And in embracing that process, then we continue to move forward in the purpose, which is being like Him. Father, I just pray right now, you just challenge every heart. Lord, help us to judge ourselves as to what it is we really want to become. And Lord, I ask that you stir that vision in the heart of everyone here to be a man or woman of God, to be that son of God, to be Christ-like. And we thank you, Lord, there's hope for that by your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's working to change us. May today contribute to that being done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. What do you want to be when you grow up? Amen. I want to be like Jesus.